This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Vladimir Putin speaking directly to NATO in his address about the war a year later, said the president of Russian Federation, the Russian economy and system of government have turned out to be much stronger than the West believed. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's been my guide on the troubled Russian economy this last year. Michael, a very good evening to you. It felt when Mr. Putin delivered that line that he was speaking directly to you, much stronger. The question I have is, much stronger where, much stronger how? Let us begin with the energy sector. Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening to you. Timing is very important. Last year was for reasons totally unrelated to the war, totally unrelated to the Russian government. It was a good year for Russia because after the pandemic of COVID, the world was recovering and indeed energy prices were very high. It's over. It's over. Now natural gas is under $60 per thousand cubic meters. Now oil is under $80 per barrel. It's way down from natural gas used to be $350 per thousand cubic meter, and the oil was over $100 per barrel. So it's over. And in January 2023, because we're already in February, actually Russia lost a lot of money already because of the cheaper oil and reduction of natural gas. So the its trade surplus has declined by 58% compared with January 2022, and used to be $19 billion in January 2022, now it's $8 billion. 36% decline in their oil revenues. And the embargo just started, the price cap started only in December on crude oil, and only in early February on petroleum products. So it's getting worse now, and it is downhill, and 2023, they will not be as lucky. They were lucky in 2022 for reasons beyond their own policies. Now they won't be as lucky.
If I understand it correctly, the Kremlin did some preparation at year's end in order to make their look stronger, I guess, to the Russian people. I guess the audience for this is, we're fine. What was most alarming to me was the statements in the President Putin's message that we are going to go our own way in education, in technology, in science, in research. In other words, creating a Russia that is retreating back into the 16th century before Peter the Great transformed it. That's alarming for the Russian people. So Vladimir Putin must demonstrate that they can survive cutting themselves off. In other words, being anti-Adam Smith. Now, the puzzle is how do they survive 23? Is this the test this year, Michael?
Well, it is a test, and actually 2 days ago they just issued the statistical data for 2022, and for the long term, most ominously, the production of technology and the services of science and professional services are down 5%, whereas the entire economy is down only 2.1%. And for the well-being of the citizens, the most important thing is, of course, retail trade and services, and those are down by 13%. So the overall data, it's kind of a mix of good news and some bad news. They had a bumper crop, which they will not have this year. It's already, forecasts are reduced. But some of the most important things for the people are down. So the oil and gas are already down. And the interesting fact is that the Russian government itself because of the price caps and the oil embargo, and especially the embargo on liquid petroleum products, forecast to reduce in March, starting March 2023, oil production by 500,000 barrels a day, but export of Russian oil will be reduced by more than that, 600,000 barrels a day. They expect and hope that this will somehow increase the world market price. No, it won't, because the United States is increasing production, and they are losing now, by the estimates of the Deutsche Bank, they are losing, compared with 2022, $500 million a day in revenues from oil and natural gas, half a billion dollars a day.
I don't like celebrating people struggling. The Russian people didn't start this war, and Vladimir Putin is aware that he needs some explanation to his own people. The puzzle I have, Michael, is that he's turned the country into darkness visible. You can't actually see into Russia. People flee. Young people flee. I know I've talked anecdotally about young people, especially information technologies, young people fleeing to Armenia and other cities around the edges. Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin have condemned Russia. We've talked about them not recovering till 2050. They've condemned Russia much faster than that. It's no longer growing. It's retreating. And he did not offer in his speech what he's going to do to turn that around. Or did you hear him? Does he have some magic bullet he hasn't told us about?
There's not much they can do. But on the other hand, the sanctions, Western sanctions, have already been done to, in such a way that there is not much we can do. So it's a sort of a stalemate. So the most important sanctions are the export sanctions. They started to work in December on crude oil and in February on liquid petroleum products. The Russians have to change their routes of providing exports. And now their distance at which they sell their natural resources tripled, because they used to sell them in Europe, and now it takes 60 days to ship everything to China and India. But there is no long-term hope for great technological progress and great fiscal revenues at this juncture, and they will have to just reduce their domestic consumption for this.
So we're settling into, economically, we're settling into a static front line, much like Donbass. Both sides having used their big weapons, sanctions for the United States and guns for Russia. And time now is the question. Russia says that it's going to fight a long war, but what you're identifying is that they haven't got a long war in them. Their revenue is going to plunge into 23 and 24. Is that correct, Michael?
Their revenues are going to plunge, and they've already forecast the increase in the budget deficit. Deutsche Bank estimates that the budget deficit will reach 4% of GDP. Other estimates run to 5% of GDP. Already expenditures are way ahead of the revenues in January and February. And the question is how they will finance this budget deficit, and they will have to print money, monetize, and then the big question is, when inflation accelerates, then the real money supply will decline, and then it will be a shock for domestic output. So on the export side, yes, they lose a lot of revenues, and it is not recoverable, because at this point everyone is trying to in the world not to break the sanctions. Bangladesh just announced they will not receive Russian ships. They need Russian oil, but the ships will have to come from the third world countries. Then China. And Russia relied on China, and now the Russians are complaining that they cannot land their cargo planes in China because of the sanctions. So altogether, they are in a difficult situation.
Michael Bernstam, the Hoover Institution. It would appear that time is not Mr. Putin's friend. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.